Good evening. Welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and tonight I have Mike McLeod from MMA Creative. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Hi, Tiffany. Good to be here.
So give us a snippet of what MMA Creative is. And what does it stand for? I asked some of your team, and they did not know.
Oh, I need to go back into orientation, don't I?
Yeah.
It stands for McLeod Marketing Associates. When I started my business back in 1991, we started out as McLeod Graphics, just named it after myself. And then over the years, as we grew and I was able to acquire some other agencies along the way, I felt like it needed to be less about me and more about us. And we chose to go to McLeod Marketing Associates, and then ultimately the last iteration became MMA Creative, because everything that we were doing at the time felt well underneath the whole creative mantra. So that's what MMA Creative stands for.
So in 1991, did you start, were you here in Cookeville?
I was.
And you started just a graphics. I mean, let's be honest, marketing and social media and all this has changed dramatically since 1991.
It sure has. And I wish I could go back to that moment, because one of the key factors and companies and individuals behind that was Steve Jobs. When I was coming out of college, I studied communications at the University of Tennessee. I had this bright idea that based on some practicum experience I had done in magazine stuff in New York City, that I could come back to Cookeville and do that. And it would not have been possible had it not been for the Mac Classic, the very first Mac that came out on the market in 90, I think it was. And
weighed like 89 or 90.
Oh, yeah,
like
in his big old ugly box.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing tool. And me and a couple guys from UT were able to utilize it and create the very first iteration of Cookeville's Finest, which was a magazine that was my launching pad into McLeod Graphics. And the times have changed, but my goodness, how much Apple has evolved into one of the premier companies in the world. I wish at the time I'd have been smart enough to take $1,000 instead of buying a Mac Classic, buying stock in Apple. I caught up with that momentum later on in my life, but my goodness, that moment was, I should have known, because it was a game changer for me, and it was a game changer for the industry, especially the desktop publishing industry.
So let's back up a little bit. So are you from Cookeville? Are you originally, did you grow up here?
Kind of. A lot of my friends think that I am, and the truth is I'm from Putnam County. I grew up in Monterey, Tennessee, went to school there, got my high school graduation, played 3 or 4 sports. And when my parents split up when I was age 13, 14, I started living in Cookeville with my mother when I could drive. So I got very familiar with people in Cookeville and started going to trade school in Cookeville. So I split my days between Cookeville High School and Monterey High School. And to this day, most people think I'm a graduate of Cookeville or a graduate of Monterey. But I'm a Putnam County graduate and went away to
college. Tomato, tomato. It's right. Kind of the same.
Exactly.
It's this area. So growing up in this somewhat rural region,
Monterey is definitely rural.
Yeah, I mean, in the 80s or 90s, how did you think that you would start your own company? Did you have these dreams that this is what you were going to do?
Yes. There are about 3 defining moments that I'll never forget. And in fact, I ran into one of the teachers in my life just a few days ago at lunch. His name was Alton Roark. He was 6'8". He became a basketball coach, but he taught a social studies class or civic class. And he's the first teacher who ever drilled into my brain and anyone else in the class who was listening that you can be a successful entrepreneur and you could even become a millionaire. And at the time, that just seemed so far-fetched for a small kid growing up in Monterey, Tennessee, that I clung to that and listened to his lessons on life and listened to his philosophies. And to this day, I thank him for having a profound impact on me. But prior to that, there was a defining moment that my mother always hates when I tell this story, but
we won't tell her you're on the air.
I'm not going to tell her when this airs. So when she used to work in a furniture store in Monterey, and one of the memories I have, my brother and I would go after school to her job, and they allowed us to run around there and pretty much do whatever we wanted. And one of those things was we'd get the biggest, fattest rubber bands you've ever seen in your life off the plastic that was around the furniture. And we would just flip each other left and right and probably leave welts to this day that I don't want to admit to. But I had this novel idea, and I was in fifth grade, that those rubber bands would be marketable and sellable at school.
I'm sure.
And lo and behold, there were about three or four, what I consider, I guess, bad boys. And I was their source.
Dealer.
I was the dealer.
The dealer.
Obviously. I would take these rubber bands and I would sell them for a quarter at Uffelman Elementary School in Monterey.
Again, this is the 80s, so and quarters, a lot of money.
My goodness. Well, it gave us pinball money. See, you may not remember this. We'd go home and we had a laundromat that had a pinball machine in it, and that was our first stop after we got off the bus. And so it was funding my addiction to pinball, and I thought I'd hit pay dirt, and I was a career businessman at the moment until Eddie Nipper pulled me into his office, our principal, and paddled the snot out of me because he found out I was the source to all of these teachers getting flipped in the back of the head with these big rubber bands.
We've had a lot of people on talk about selling things on the playground. Heath Waters with Blue Waters Equipment Rental said he was selling like candy bars. Nobody was selling rubber bands to beat up their siblings. Like, nobody was selling weapons on the playground. Right. I think you're the first one.
Well, it stayed with me. It obviously meant something from an entrepreneurial thing. And I can remember, as I was traveling back and forth from Monterey to Cookeville, I had to ride the bus. I would drive to Monterey, jump on a bus, come back to Cookeville, go to vocational school, jump on a bus, go back to Monterey, finish my afternoons, play sports, and then get in my car and drive back to Cookeville. On the bus, back and forth, Monterey to Cookeville, I would always sit by the window. I would always pretty much sit alone. And I'd always look out the window at the business cars going by, and I would see briefcases occasionally in a car. And to me, that was the sign of success. That was a business person going somewhere, traveling because of an entrepreneurial business strategy. And I'll never forget. I remember telling myself, I'm going to do that one day.
Which now that you're a grown adult, it's very likely that maybe they weren't even, they were a drug rep, that they were, you know, or they're doing some job that they hated.
Right.
But it's amazing as kids what we think, oh, that's what I want to be.
Yeah. It certainly meant something else to me, probably.
At that time.
And it just fits a narrative that's kind of followed me throughout my entire life.
In case you're just joining us, we have Mike McLeod with MMA Creative in the studio today. And so you knew pretty early on that you just wanted to make your own story, make your own business. Do you think you ever, I mean, you mentioned that you were in New York for a little while. Do you think that you thought, I have to go to New York to do the big, be the big, carry the best briefcase around?
Well, that it did. When I was in college, I immediately, after enjoying the first year as a freshman, got very buttoned up and settled in and focused on my studies. And I remember the next big thing on my bucket list was to become the publisher of Fortune magazine. And that was never in the cards, but at the time that wasn't daunting to me. And I studied hard and I networked with my professors and found out that there were internship practicum opportunities in New York City. And I thought, well, I got to go do that. And so I took a year off and worked with Whittle Communications in Knoxville, and then was able to build a career or a resume up enough that I got a job with Theater Crafts Publishing Group on Fifth Avenue and worked with three publications, one that was international, as a writer and an editor. and loved every minute of it. And it just became obvious to me that I was going to go down the publishing ranks, or the communication ranks, as I call it now. And it meant the world. I came back, I finished up my degree in about two semesters, and decided I'm not going to go hunting for a job. It would have been easier if I'd have just gone and taken a job somewhere.
The world of entrepreneurship is not easy whatsoever. Yeah. But
thanks to family and relationships in Cookeville, I was able to come back and focus on building my own magazine and my own business and
empire.
It was tough, but it was fun, and it was a labor of love, and something that I would never change.
Well, and I think you can make a big impact in a smaller area. It's kind of the decision: do you want to be the big fish in a small pond, or the small fish in a big pond? And you know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into entrepreneurship and working for yourself, but there's a huge, much more rewards in that too.
I think I have found that I've been the fish in a little bitty stream. You know, for some reason, I don't even like the ease of swimming around in a pond. Sometimes I just find the hardest route and take it. I don't know why that is.
You're the one, the salmon that goes.
I'm the salmon going upstream.
Upstream, yeah.
Pretty much all the time.
Well, when we come back from the commercial, we're going to hear more. We're going to fast forward way into more present day, and we're going to find out more about you.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson in Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Talk 94.1 Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Mike McLeod from MMA Creative. And we've kind of gone through your childhood, college years. You started this MMA Creative here in 1991, and it was McLeod Graphics at that time, but it's really changed the course. And I mean, it has to. Times have changed. The world. You can work worldwide. You can work globally now where you couldn't have in 1991 as much. And so tell us more about what is MMA Creative now and what are all the things that fall under the umbrella. I know the World Food Championships is one of the things that fall under this umbrella. Tell us about that.
So we talked about the entrepreneurial side of my early childhood, and you forced a bunch of flashbacks into my head. Thank you for that. MMA Creative has been an entrepreneurial agency ever since we started. And to your point about change over the course of the last two, three decades, we've had to...
That's crazy. I know. Three.
Isn't it?
Next year.
I actually almost paused on that. But we've had to evolve. And many times people ask me in the business community, I used to be really engaged at the chamber and all things here local. And we've run political campaigns over the last 20, 30 years. And we've run referendums. We were the agency that passed Liquor by the Drink and package stores in Cookeville. We did it in Crossville. We did it in about a dozen other cities. So my point of bringing that up is we've evolved year after year. And whenever someone would ask me, what does your business do, or how's your business doing? I'd always tell them we're evolving and we're expanding, and that was the one constant thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that I had a communications background, because the one thing that's not changed is the power of content and the power of communications. And in fact, I think we're doing a boot camp soon on the power of social media and how to harness that power, engage customers with great content.
And we're doing that at the Biz Foundry.
Correct.
And trying to, we have so many entrepreneurs that they just feel so lost in that aspect.
Well, we're going to help them try to unravel that and unpack it and make them realize it's not that complicated. There are people that can help you, but there are some strategies you can employ that will help you navigate that whole landscape of social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. But the key thing that I think you were asking about is what do we do today and how did we get there? We used to help other people with their assets to build them, market them. And I saw enough of my friends who were older than I and nice enough to give me a chance as a young entrepreneur to help them with marketing. I saw enough of them build a business, sell a business, and go play golf the rest of their life that I thought, where's my strategy for that? Right. And so ultimately I decided MMA needs to have assets. We need to create our own. We need to take our own medicine and we need to learn how to market something of our own. And about 15 years into my career, we found it by accident. Tony Stone, a former mayor of Cookeville, walked into my office when I bought the Varsity Cinema, renovated it and had a big open house. And he said, Mike, have you ever thought about marketing barbecue? And I said, no, but I sure as heck love eating it. So tell me more. And long story short, we spent 12 years as the agency of record for the Kansas City Barbecue Society, which he was a board member of at the time. We got very entrepreneurial in our approach with them. We became a partner, not just a marketing agency that was paid a retainer. And that meant that we were able to cash in on their success. And so after seeing that success, I started looking around and realizing there's a lot of other culinary competition societies and things popping up. Food Network was coming on strong. And being an ex-athlete, I decided, why is there not a Super Bowl for all these food genres? And that came out in one of our conference meetings, staff conference meetings. And as soon as we said it, we all kind of looked at each other. There's about 12 of us in the room and we were like, that's a great idea.
And why, so it was born.
Why don't we do that? And then the question became, well, how would we do that? What would that look like? So fast forward, we started, that was in 2010. And 2 years later, we started the World Food Championships in Las Vegas. We had Caesars as our partner. We just decided, well, if we're going to
go big,
go for the fences, you know, swing hard and go for a grand slam. And we brought Adam Richman on as our spokesperson that year. And we got off to a great start and we've never looked back. Every year we get bigger. We get stronger. We get better at what we're doing. And about 85% of what we do today is in the food space. And in some form or fashion, it's touching or coming out of the World Food Championships. One quick example, it's like the American Idol of food. So we see all of the great culinary talent before you see it on TV. And many times they leap from us to TV. And we went to Walmart and shared our story. And they got excited. Became our presenting sponsor 2 years ago. And today we do about 1,000 demonstrations a year in Walmarts throughout the nation with food champs who've come through the World Food Championships platform. So it's just constantly evolving, seeing the marketplace, thinking how do we answer that need? How do we create something special? And then how do we ultimately turn it into a business and make money off of it?
In case you're just joining us, this is Mike McLeod with MMA Creative, also founder of the World Food Championships. So once you created this asset for your company and you've grown this over the last 10, 12 years, you're trying to shift a little focus now and kind of come back home a little bit, right?
Yeah. So 2 years ago, I had a son. So my focus got really shifted. I used to live in Nashville and would come to the Cookeville office maybe once a week. And now it's the reverse because I want to be in Cookeville and raise my son in a great community and put him through a great education like I did here in Putnam County. So I'm here all the time and I still travel on a jet or a plane a lot more than most people do. But I'm looking at getting involved in my home community again. The championship has reached a point of success that, you know, I have a lot more people doing a lot more things.
Having a team that you can trust, and you kind of have to, I mean, this is up until 2 years ago, this was your baby.
Right. And, so it's kind of, this baby's walking and kind of running now, and I can turn my attention, to some other things, and getting back into the community has kind of spurred some of my, old flames and desires. And I thought that it would be helpful to other business owners to hear how I think social media was one of the critical aspects to the growth of the World Food Championships. So in this boot camp, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our view on communications, how we treat it as a news bureau, and what that means from a mindset and what it means from a messaging standpoint. So we hope it'll be helpful to others. I like going to hear other business people speak about their businesses because I tend to look at my business differently for a minute. And hopefully that's what we're able to help others do, even though they may not be in the food business and they may think this doesn't matter to me. Our hope is that they'll hear a strategy that we've employed that is a pure business, pure entrepreneurial or pure messaging strategy that will help them build their widgets or sell more stuff that they're involved with.
So we're going to do this boot camp. First session is February 27th at 5:30, I believe, at the Biz Foundry. And we're hoping that this really takes off and we can do some in our other locations and really impact this community in a way marketing wise that we haven't been able to see before. So
I do too. And take it from a guy who, you know, I come from a community of 2,000 people, and I sit in Fortune 100, actually Fortune 10 and less boardrooms on a regular basis. And even though I bring a Southern accent to the table.
Oh, it's very slight though. It's very,
but that's not what they say in New York City.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
even though I bring that to the table, I've been able to meet with, network with, and benefit from some of the greatest leaders in business. And it's always exciting. I'm going to New York City in about a week and a half, and I'm meeting a group of major investors in the GM building. And I think
you're just this Monterey boy, you know, and you base your business here. I think that's really important for people to know, is that you're not limited anymore by a rural location.
The beauty, in fact, we have, I think, about 4 virtual employees. I no longer care about where an employee resides or if an employee can come into the office all the time. I care about objectives. I care about achievement, and I care about strategy. So as long as our associates are doing those things, then they can work in Timbuktu.
Well, and you're going to have so much more productivity with people who are working in an environment that's good for them.
As long as they're disciplined.
Well, and yes. But somebody who has to relocate and their family and is miserable at home and Cookeville's just not the right location for their family, you're not going to get as much out of that employee.
It was a lot easier for us as we jumped over a step that was critical in my career. We expanded in Nashville and we doubled our size in about a year and a half by doing that. But it was always easier for us to recruit talent in Nashville or to Nashville than it was to Cookeville. Now, I think that's misguided in many ways for a lot of people. They just don't know the benefits of Cookeville and Putnam County. But it was a fact. And it taught me a great lesson in that understand and appreciate what employees are looking for as far as their surroundings and in their career. And then if you can answer that through a strong business model, then why not? Why not bring them on board?
All right, we got one minute left. How can people find you? Are you on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn, Mike McLeod. I'm on Instagram as McLeod in the Cloud. I'm on Facebook. I do a lot of stuff on Facebook, personal and professional.
And MMA Creative has social media as well?
MMA Creative has a Facebook page.
What's the webpage?
A website, mmacreative.com.
Okay, and we can find out about the bootcamp at thebizfoundry.org under our events section. And hopefully people will come on out, and I'm just excited to see what you're going to do, the impact you're going to have I wasn't here in 1991, so I didn't see the impact then, but I'm really excited to see what where things are going to go for you.
I'll bring some big fat rubber bands to make sure I have a big impact.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Mike McLeod with MMA Creative.